Hey guys, welcome back to the Tech Check for Season 3, Episode 21. Before we begin, here's a word from our sponsor.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Tech Check. Today, we're going to be going over the latest news. So, Vinay, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, sure. So, I guess we'll get started with all the SpaceX news that recently came out. So, I guess the first and most important news that recently came out was SpaceX's booster rocket bursts into flames during a test. So what are your guys' thoughts on that, and how do you think SpaceX will recover from this?
Yeah, I heard about that. Do you know what test they were doing?
It's a booster rocket test, so let me quickly look at that.
Yeah, because I saw that, but I didn't like actually look into it. But it is like a trial and error just to test anything new. I feel like it's not like something insane, like, you know, it's not crazy.
I feel like this is something that's bound to happen. You can't expect people, SpaceX, right, really any company to not face issues during testing. And in this case, it ended up with a very expensive fireball of a rocket.
Yeah, wasn't it the same with like the Falcon 9 rockets too?
Yeah, no, I feel like this is something that happens before. It's not really something that they're going to have to really recover from. It's just more testing that's going to have to go into, you know, the Starship and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and it seems like this booster rocket was mainly created for the next generation Starship spacecraft. So obviously this does punch a hole in their future plans, but nevertheless, I think they'll plow through, and ultimately Elon will get it done, as he's proven individual.
I mean, I don't know if it really set him back. Honestly, I think it's probably a step forward, because if it shows that there are issues, and obviously they aren't going into this thinking that it's a perfect thing already, because otherwise it would be, you know, a next generation thing, right? So honestly, I feel like, I'm not saying it's like a good thing, but it helps them understand that there are issues that need to be fixed.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think also at the same time, I feel like they definitely did not plan on like burning $216 million.
Yeah, obviously, if they were gonna have issues, they would probably prefer stuff that didn't involve losing millions of dollars. So,
yeah. But that's tough. But I think I do agree. It is a step forward. At least they'll know what's wrong, what went wrong, and they'll definitely make sure it's fixed next time. So I'm looking forward to the next time build a rocket and launch it. All right. Yeah. So that was the first bit of SpaceX news. The next bit of SpaceX news was mainly regarding Starlink, and it looks like SpaceX now got approval to bring Starlink internet to airplanes, RVs, a lot of other cool stuff. So what are your guys' thoughts on that, and just thoughts on Starlink as a concept?
I mean, like, Starlink seems pretty cool. I guess they like helped Ukraine with that or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like it was just bound to come commercially like soon.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it was mainly developed as like a low latency broadband internet system that like really can meet customers' demands all over the world. So yeah. I thought it was really cool how, you know, Ukraine, with the whole Ukraine-Russia thing, how Ukraine needed internet, and Starlink was just able to give them internet in, like, a handful of minutes. Like, yeah. I thought that was just fascinating how they were just able to do that, like, so quickly. And especially with airplanes, you know, traveling all over the world, I guess this is just another thing that us humans can take for luxury, thanks to Elon's greatness. So, yeah, I think it's really good, not only for Starlink, but just also just like us in general. Like now we'll pretty much get internet everywhere in the world. Like the amount of dead zones are going to be very, very limited, especially with Starlink.
Also, I feel like it's important note for airplanes, right? Because if Starlink is going to be used for like airplane communication, I mean, looking past internet, right? For using airplanes for like air travel communication between like pilots, that could change a lot of how the air, like air travel infrastructure works. Because you have very far communication now, right? Not to mention, I'm not sure what the result is going to be for like remote towers or whatever they're called at airports. Like, I'm not sure how that's going to affect jobs and in that scenario too. So, I don't know. Starlink's really cool. It's probably going to bring about a lot of change in terms of how internet and communication is going to work, which is going to be exciting to see.
And I definitely think like I think if there's one thing this impacts, it's all the other internet provider companies out there, like Xfinity, AT&T, and things like that. I wonder how they're gonna, embrace Starlink as a competitor and what they're gonna do to be a better service. Because ultimately, I think it with Starlink pretty much working out right now, I think it's probably by far one of the best internet providers. Well, it is proven one to be one of the best internet providers out there. But I definitely think that Xfinity and AT&T right now have the stronghold, but I think Starlink will definitely become more popular in the future. So yeah, you guys got anything else you want to say about the SpaceX stuff before I move on?
Not really.
Okay, yeah, sure, I'll move on. I guess the next big thing that happened was Elon was sued by Twitter after backing out of his, I don't even know how much money, but a lot of money, a big deal with purchasing Twitter. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I think that whole thing was just nuts. Like, he
Yeah,
just like showed up wanting to buy Twitter and I just doesn't want to anymore.
I'm not really sure what Elon was going for here with the whole Twitter buy. I mean, it is meme-y and all, so I guess there's that. But aside from that, I'm not really sure what the plan was or really what thought processes went into first going for it and then backing out. Do we know what Twitter is suing them? What is Twitter suing him for? Like, are they allowed to sue him for just backing out of? I guess it probably was a contract, right? So they might be suing him out of backing out of contract.
Yeah, they were like in talks and stuff, so I'm pretty sure a contract was built.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing here was, and I might be wrong, it was just because like I feel like, I mean, yeah, like you said, you can't just back out of, like you already probably made, you made the attempt to buy it, and you can't just back out. But I also think part of it is just because, if you guys have been watching the stock market, Twitter's stock rose so much when news broke out that Elon's going to be a part owner, and then as soon as Elon backed out of that, the stock fell dramatically. Not it didn't fall like super badly, but it definitely hurt after seeing like how high it risen after Elon said he was going to buy it. So
I mean, then again, you can't really sue just because of stock fluctuation.
Do you think it could be possible that Musk backed out because of stock variation or
No, there's no way because he obviously would have seen it coming. Like he made Dogecoin like go to the moon.
Yeah, I believe it was like 34% lower than what like Twitter's normal price would be after Elon attempted to exit this acquisition. So just some cool data, I guess.
Yeah, no, I don't think the change in like the stock price was the reason why he left.
I think Twitter suing Elon is just really at least according to the New York Times, they're suing him to sort of force him to buy the 44, to buy the to acquire Twitter for $44 billion, mm-hmm. rather to actually gain money out of, you know, suing him. At least that's according to New York Times an hour ago.
Interesting. That's an interesting take. Yeah, no, that's really interesting. You guys have anything else you guys want to say about, you know, Elon and this piece of news before we move on?
Not really.
Nope.
Okay, yeah, we'll move on. So I think the next big piece of news is that Apple and Android phones have been hacked by Italian spyware. And this Italian company used some hacking tools to spy on, you know, these phones and to spy on these phones specifically in Italy and Kazakhstan. So not in the US or anywhere else, just those two specific spots. So what are you guys' thoughts on that and just generally like the security of these smartphones?
Wait, when was this?
This was like, I would say roughly 10, 20 days ago.
Jeez.
It was fairly recent, yeah. And actually Google is the one that published this news. Mm-hmm. Not Apple itself. I don't know. Is there a company behind Android or that just like a whole like
Android? And well, it is a company, but it runs basically the iOS. It is essentially the iOS for Samsung, Google, et cetera, et cetera.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, well, Google put out this news, and as an Apple user, like, I don't want to get to this Android-Apple debate again, but I feel like Apple has, like, really, really good security compared to Android phones, just because of how, like, closed the environment is. So I was really surprised to hear that both Apple and Android phones have been hacked. It was just something I thought was super surprising, and I mean, it is scary, honestly, that, like, it is possible that, and no one's going to see it coming, obviously, but the phone that you have, like, someone can spy on you with that device. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Like, what data did they collect?
They never released that, obviously, because, I mean, they're still trying to investigate and figure out, you know, how in the world they've been hacked. But,
yeah.
I mean, this is, like, I wouldn't say it's fairly new, but they're still looking into it. So,
interesting. Do we know like what like if the Italian groups are like or like the Italian people were affiliated with any group?
Not at least from the CNN article, which I found. There hasn't been like significant information about that. It just said that like they just use these hacking tools and are arming governments that would not develop these capabilities in-house. So I'm guessing that they're spying on Italian and Kazakhstan citizens and giving this data to the government, which is, I don't know, kind of interesting.
No, it's just weird because like they just picked a random country in the Middle East.
Yeah, I don't know what's that big in Italy or Kazakhstan that like you need to spy on all their citizens, right?
Italy makes sense.
Italy's a larger country, so I can see that.
Yeah, it is
larger. Kazakhstan might have been used. I mean, obviously, it's a less relevant country in comparison to Italy. So they probably might have tested stuff out there.
Yeah, do we know if they did it there first?
They haven't said which. I mean, it says an Italian company's hacking tools were used to spy on smartphones in Italy and Kazakhstan. So I don't know. I guess my guess would probably be like if it's an Italian company, they probably went for Italy first and then Kazakhstan. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, once they go for Italy, I feel like once they know how to get to one iPhone in one country, I feel like it could probably be duplicated for every other country. You know what I mean?
Depends.
Yeah, and I'm not a cybersecurity expert, but like I just
either way
weird, yeah.
Either way, the fact that both Android and Apple was hacked shows that it's probably like a common thing that both companies have an issue with. So it's gonna be interesting to see how both companies respond. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a software update coming within the next you know, few days/weeks to counter this once I figure it out. But
No, that's scary, but yeah, hopefully that software update comes out soon.
I'm pretty sure there was a software update for iPhone at least within the past.
There, I got an Android update last night or a couple nights ago. So
yeah,
it might have been in response to this. It might have been just another normal update.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a response to this, it's a good thing. Yeah, but it is scary at the end of the day. Any last words before I move on to the next piece of news?
No, I don't got anything.
All right.
Okay, sounds good. So I guess the next piece of news is that the first images from NASA's James Webb Space Telescope came out, and it's showing other galaxies and overall just some really cool pictures of space. So what are you guys' thoughts on this piece of news and the power of this telescope?
I mean, I guess I feel like we all knew that space exploration is gonna be taking off, especially considering all of the, you know, SpaceX stuff. So I guess this is just one of those steps that's going into furthering space exploration.
Yeah, I mean, it's really sick just to know, like, you know, what's out there. Even though, I mean, there's no way we're probably going to have a human travel to this galaxy anytime soon. But, I mean, just looking at the picture and seeing all the, like, all the stars and all the, I don't know, there's, like, a lot of, like, round circles. So I'm guessing that, I'm just going to guess that those are galaxies or something. So just seeing this, like, really... really cool picture. It was really really interesting.
Wait, what was it a picture of again? Like I didn't actually read into it.
Yeah, sure. So this is the picture I'm right now sharing my screen.
Yeah, but like what is it about?
I mean, it looks like it's a galaxy cluster called SMACS072.
Oh, okay.
Also known as Webb's first deep field.
I think it's basically just the point is that it's the deepest photo we got of you know all this of our universe. So while I'm not sure how much, I mean, I guess it does help in terms of you know, like actual astronomical classification as to what different planets are. In terms of like the public, it's probably, I mean, if anything, it's really nice in terms of getting people excited for what's coming in space travel.
I think more than space travel, it's just hyping up excitement for astronomy.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, I feel like it's just mainly for astronomical purposes. I don't know. I mean, like, at least within the next 100 years, I just don't see a way we travel to these new galaxies. Like, nevertheless, even like other planets besides just Mars, like even getting to Mars, I feel it'll take like a few hundred. I don't know. I feel like it'll take a few hundred years, even just for like humans to develop the technology needed to go to Mars. Nevertheless, just trying to go to a whole nother galaxy.
I mean, like, isn't NASA and SpaceX trying to go to Mars, like, within this decade?
I don't know.
And if you look at, like, the last...
stuff, but, we've all seen the pictures of... The pictures the rovers have taken on Mars and stuff like that.
But yeah.
I just don't see humans actually traveling to Mars. Like, I don't know. That's just me personally. I just don't see it, but... I mean, hey, if Elon can pull it off, then, I mean, hats off to him, I guess. I don't know. I'm speechless.
If anything, if you look at, like, the past 20 years, the amount of technological advancements we've made, like, not even strictly in space exploration itself, but we are way more technologically advanced than we were, like, 20, 30 years ago. So I would not be surprised... The whole getting to Mars by you know, within this decade, I honestly think it is pretty believable. It could happen. And obviously, I don't think we're going to get like outside of the solar system, definitely in the next 100 years. But space, I feel like space exploration is going to be one of those fields that's like really going to take off in, you know, the next while, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting to Mars is pretty reasonable. I mean, like 20 years ago, we had a flip phone. Now we have like Face ID, and, like our iPhone. Like, you know, technology, just as Nair said, is like rapidly, you know, developing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like there's a lot of challenges that I don't think we've solved these challenges yet, but I think right now, like, you also have to keep in mind that NASA has to land a one ton, like, a large spaceship on Mars. Like, so far, they've only done, like, rovers and I guess, like, smaller devices. Like, we're talking, like, an actual, like, spaceship. You gotta land it on Mars without, like,
crap. Yeah, right? Yeah, it's easier on Mars because they're, their gravitational pull is less. It's a lower acceleration than Earth's.
Yeah, but so, I don't know how Mars.
So it's similar to. It's obviously not as easy as landing something on the moon, but at the same time, we're literally figuring out how to re-land boosters on Earth. Yeah. So I feel like landing stuff on Mars isn't going to be that big of an issue, at least in comparison to actually getting there.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. And then I think another challenge is like how in the world are you going to, and I think SpaceX is developing this, but like, you know, a rocket that can, I guess, be used more than once. Like, because when you
send people there. There's the Falcon, like wasn't the Falcon 9 or something reused?
I'm not sure. Is that, because I mean, you need to, you know, blast off from Mars. Like, you can't just go to Mars and then just leave them there, right? Like,
went to the moon and came back.
Yeah, but that's the moon. Like, this is like Mars. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
we got to the moon with, what is it, the amount of technology that they used to get to the moon is less than the amount of technology we have in our smartphones. I feel like that says a lot. Yeah, as that to is true. What good. We can accomplish in terms of space travel.
That is a good point. Also, like, I don't even know if, I mean, I guess another thing we need to consider is just like the weather there. I heard that Mars does have pretty severe dust storms, so I wonder how that's gonna help. Like, I'm just talking about just humans living there in general, just like talking about how they can, you know, plant food and grow crops and, you know, actually live there.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like actually building a habitat on Mars, that's definitely not going to happen within the decade, maybe within the half decade either. But I feel like it's not entirely impossible too, just because Mars does have a history of having bodies of water in the past. If you look at, like, I'm pretty sure like the north part of Mars, there's like an ice cap on it, so there has been history of water being on Mars, and there are theories that there could have been early life on Mars, but we're not entirely sure. So I feel like it's definitely doable and reasonable on Mars.
There's a lot of stuff we have to consider in terms of living on Mars. I mean, obviously water is one thing, but as I mentioned, it does have a history of ice caps, etc. But we need to look into atmosphere, we need to look into food, we need to look into basically everything that makes basic society run. Like you said, it's going to take a while to do that. While landing on, Mars and, you know, like getting basic exploration on there might happen within the decade, actually living on there is going to take way longer than that.
Yeah, that is true. And I mean, wait, I'm not sure about the lakes, but like and you can probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought Mars is just literally a desert with like.
I mean, it pretty much is, but there have been discoveries of ice like reservoirs being found underground. Water is theorized because, like, when they've been doing like exploration on it, they found evidence of ice being trapped underneath. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, because I mean, like Mars used to have water and it turned into a desert, and then Earth, on the other hand, is probably like, well, has like a ton of water, right? So yes. That is interesting. Interesting point. Well, you guys have anything you guys want to say about this topic before we move on?
I don't think so.
I think we're good.
Cool. The next piece of information is regarding social media and Snapchat, and they officially launched its paid subscription plan called Snapchat Plus.
Oh yeah, Snapchat Plus.
Yeah.
I swear.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Anyone who gets that is going to be clowned instantly.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I would totally want to see what my place is on other people's best friends list. No, I'm kidding. But I would never do that. But I wonder how many people actually buy the subscription. It's a cool idea, but I just think that like who would want to pay money for a social media platform that's free?
I on the other hand do not think it's a cool idea. I just think they're just trying to enter a market that's already there, because there's a bunch of apps where you can like you can like pay for them and check to like get all the same information. I just think Snapchat trying to localize that business to them, and it's kind of weird having a Snapchat Plus subscription. Like, I mean, come on now.
Wait, can we go over like what Snapchat Plus actually includes?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one of the features it includes is like you have the ability to change the app icon, and you're able to see which people have rewatched your stories. Also, I think you're able to see like what spot you are on other people's best friends list, which is probably one of the only reasons people get Snapchat Plus, like if there is a reason. I think those are the main.
You can see where your friends have been in the past 24 hours. It'll show you a trail of where they've been.
Isn't there more location-based stuff in this?
Yeah, you can also pin someone as your number one friend, like best friend. So, like, I don't think, like, no matter how much you snap someone else, it won't change, I guess, for people who want that. There's a story rewatch indicator. So it'll tell you if someone's rewatched your story, which I guess is cool, not really. You get the Snapchat Plus badge, which I would say is the most enticing part of this deal. You get a badge to show that you actually purchased a subscription.
Nah, bro.
That's like getting verified on Instagram.
You get something called the Friend Solar Systems, which basically, I have no idea what this does, but it seems really silly.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem.
If you're best friends on Snapchat with someone, it'll just change the display to a solar system. What? Why?
Honestly, from what I can tell, a lot of these either A, are purely cosmetic, B, sort of pseudo invade your friend's privacy, or C, further protect your own privacy, but only ever so slightly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it protects your privacy at all, honestly, but like...
No, yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think if anything...
Wait, what? There's the whole, what I meant by that is like the whole rewatch your stories thing.
Yeah.
It isn't anything big, But
I mean, that like invades someone's privacy.
It's someone else's privacy. I don't think it does anything to you though.
I mean, you can tell who's stalking you, but I guess that's really it.
Oh yeah, that is a good point. That is a good point. I guess it's a reason.
Either way, it seems very not worth it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I wonder if TikTok ever would come out with like a premium service or something. I wonder how that would look like.
To be honest, I was under the impression that they already did. They probably didn't, but I just like feel like they did.
It is TikTok. I don't know. I would imagine if they do come up with like a paid subscription that gives you like better effects or something, or like if you pay, you have like a higher chance of reaching a bigger audience or something. Like,
I guess that's more reasonable.
That could be something cool, you know, TikTok, if you're watching this, you know, take some notes. But
it's just like, it's going to be like a paid to win sort of app then.
I mean, everyone's hooked on the app. Like, it's not like everyone's just going to randomly leave it. It's like a
no. Yeah. It's just like, once money is involved, people will definitely leave.
Yeah. You
know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm pretty sure there is something along the lines of a subscription though for TikTok, now that I think about it.
I wonder, because
if you go on like TikTok Lives, you can like donate like money to like the TikTokers by like sending them like different emojis or something like that.
Right. Yeah, isn't that just like gifting subs on Twitch though?
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure there is some sort of subscription where you get like some monthly amount of coins or something like that to gift.
Maybe. I'm not really sure how it works.
I don't remember if there was actually a subscription, but I know 100% there is a way that you can actually buy coins to gift TikTokers who go live. I know that for a fact. I don't know if there's a subscription for that.
Interesting.
So,
wow, yeah, that's cool. I'm not sure if Facebook or any of the older social medias have anything yet, but this is some cool stuff, I guess. I mean, it's okay. All right, well, you guys have anything, any last words about this piece of news before I move on to our last, I guess, our last like genre?
All right,
go ahead.
All right, so yeah, I guess the next part of this this episode is talking about gaming and just overall game news that released. Mm-hmm. I guess the first piece of news is that Overwatch 2 has a release date of October 4th, 2022. So pretty close. I believe they've also had like a beta that recently came out, a lot of people played. And I think the one difference between Overwatch 1 and Overwatch 2 is just that the teams are 5v5 rather than 6v6, but from what I've heard, all the characters and like at least all the main characters are the exact same. Maybe a little bit better graphics here and there, maybe a little bit smoother gameplay, but overall, for the most part, it's like pretty similar to Overwatch 1. What are your guys' thoughts on Overwatch 2, and do you guys think it'll be successful as Overwatch 1?
I mean, I've never played Overwatch 1, to be honest, so I don't know, like, if what they're doing, if what you mentioned over Overwatch 2 is, like, actually much different than 1, but I guess it's kind of nice to sort of bring it back to the market as something new, you know what I mean, instead of just, like, doing an update to Overwatch 1, it's, like, I guess, rebranding the game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I think it does just give a fresh look to Overwatch. Obviously, at least when I was growing up, that was probably one of my favorite games I've ever played. So the fact that they're coming out with Overwatch 2 now, and just like giving a new face to the game so players can get back on it is just really cool. Another thing that's really important to note is that it's free to play. So, So I think that like that's really big for the game of Overwatch.
Yeah, that's huge.
I think because like originally it was like $60 to play the game, right? And it was pretty popular, right? That's when games were, you know, traditionally you had to pay to actually play it, right? Mm-hmm. But now I feel like with Fortnite and all these free to play games making so much revenue and gaining so much attention, I think that Overwatch 2 is trying to follow that path and try to be the next, you know, Fortnite or next big game.
I mean, PUBG became free too recently.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of Overwatch, I kind of think of Valorant in a sense. And Valorant's extremely, extremely popular.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like Overwatch 2 sort of paved the way so Valorant can run. But if
Overwatch 2?
I would say so, because I mean, it is very similar. I mean, not very similar, but no, there is some.
It's an Overwatch 2. It's not even like released yet.
Oh, not Overwatch. Sorry, Overwatch 1.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, Overwatch 1. Yeah, I mean, like, you know the... I'm not sure if you know, but, like, the secure the objective Overwatch 1 gameplays where you kind of have to, like, secure the point.
So, King of the Hill?
Basically, yeah. Very similar to Valorant.
Valorant is nothing like the... I mean, Valorant's literally just like CSGO, but you have powers.
Don't get to, like, isn't the point of the game to, because I mean, in Overwatch, you also do have powers, like, you do have special abilities.
Yeah, yeah, I know that, but there's no capture the point.
Wait, but in Valorant, and correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it like where you have to, like, sort of like defuse the bomb and, like,
yeah, yeah, it's just like CSGO.
Okay, right. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Don't capture the flag and defuse the bomb have the same, like, mechanics?
I mean, not really, no.
They're
pretty different.
No, I mean,
I honestly haven't played either, so I have no idea.
No, you're right. It is different because Valorant, like, once you kill someone, they're out for the whole game, right? But in Overwatch, they respawn at, like, the beginning of the map, so they have to, like, you know, crawl all the way back. So,
and not only that, I guess, for Overwatch, it's more of a King of the Hill, so there's one set spot,
yeah,
where players can, like, I guess, have control over, and if they have control over, they get points. Whereas for defuse the bomb, one team is defenders, one team is attackers. The attackers have to invade the defenders, like, I guess, spawn. Yes. And they can choose anywhere to place the bomb, and so they really, it's a whole lot more different.
Yeah, it is different. That was a pretty bad comparison, not gonna lie, but no, yeah, overall, I'm really excited for this game, and especially with it being free to play. I definitely think it's going to be a popular game come August 4th, 2022.
Yeah. And then isn't, what's that, what is it called? It's Starbound, what? Right?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Xbox exclusive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm actually kind of hyped for that because people have been saying it looks really good.
Yeah, and it's a Bethesda game. So yeah. I've been like dying for like a space RPG game, not even gonna lie. So it's literally like the perfect game.
Yeah.
No, it's not Starbound, it's Star something. And I keep forgetting what the name is. Star Search of Space RPG. Yeah, Starfield. There it is. Starfield.
Oh, interesting. It comes out in 2023.
Oh, 2023.
Yeah.
They pushed it back again.
In PC.
I mean, this looks like a huge game, so.
That's true.
As long as it doesn't end up like Anthem in terms of getting pushed back only for absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
I'm actually really excited about this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's from Bethesda, so their worlds are really... really like interactive, and there's a lot of lore in their worlds, I guess, like just from playing the Elder Scrolls games. So it makes sense, I guess, for them to spend a lot of time to like, you know, actually make the game. Whereas like for Anthem, like I don't think it was very lore intense. It was like there was definitely some lore and like, you know, there's plot to it, but it's not as lore intense, or you know, like I guess if you've played the Elder Scrolls games, I guess you so to see, or maybe even Elden Ring too, because Elden Ring, there's, you can tell there's been a lot of detail put into that game. Like it's pretty much impossible to find every single lore piece of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
this gameplay looks really good. Looks like the graphics are really nice. Is this like a story mode based game?
From what I know or how it's been marketed, it's like a star exploration, like RPG game. So what I'm imagining is it's probably like the Outer Worlds, but just like revamped and just better. So like, yeah, there's definitely like some story aspects of the game, but I feel like it's a lot more focused on like your choice and how you progress through the story on your own.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's really interesting. I like it.
Definitely. I mean, if we're going to talk about games coming in 2022, have you guys heard of Stray?
I have not heard of Stray.
It's just called Stray.
It's a bit of a different type of game. You basically are a cat.
Yeah.
In this like huge open world. It's like an adventure based game. I'm not too familiar with it, but it's very cyberpunk like, and where you're talking with like you're interacting with robots, getting quests, but you're a cat.
Interesting.
So basically, you just go around this huge this world, completing these quests and stuff. It's honestly, it seems like a very laid back game.
Yeah.
In terms of I'm not really sure in terms of difficulty, but it seems like a very laid back exploration adventure game, which I'm really down for. So I'm kind of excited to see how this game does as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks cool. It looks like it's a PlayStation and PC exclusive game. So
The graphics look amazing too.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. If it's available on PlayStation 5, I feel like all the PlayStation 5 games that have come out so far have like really, really clean graphics.
I believe that's also coming on PS4, so I'm not sure what
it is. Yeah.
I'm not sure if anybody who remembers back in Forza Horizon 2 how they had two, like an Xbox 360 and Xbox One version, but basically the graphics on the two games are different, so that the new gen console is, well, full. The power of the full new gen console is fully utilized. So I'm assuming they're going to do the same thing here, because since it's very cyberpunk like in terms of setting, I don't see why they would sort of hold back when they have the PS5's insane graphics capabilities.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. I think like as like sooner or later, PS4 games will stop, like games will stop being developed and made for the PS4, and sort of like what they did for the PS3, they'll just, you know, just transition to
PS5. Yeah, no, they'll just stop eventually. I mean, obviously it might take a bit longer considering it took a while for people to actually get their hands on PS5s. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it might still be out of stock in a few places, but I'm not sure. Yeah, no, definitely. I think after this Black Friday and Christmas, I think like that's when, you know, the cutoff will be for the PlayStation 5s at least. But yeah, no, that's some cool stuff. Anything else? Oh, also, Modern Warfare 2 is getting released on October 28th, so that's also something I'm looking forward to. I'm not sure, and I might be wrong about this, but I think Activision's taking a break from COD games after this one. So, I mean, I was a huge fan of Modern Warfare. The one that was, I guess, in Warzone, when Warzone came out. I think it's Modern Warfare Remastered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that right. But I thought Modern Warfare is probably one of the best COD games that came out. I wasn't a huge fan of Cold War. I wasn't really a fan of like the weapons that they used there. I really liked Modern Warfare, you know, with the Grau, the Kilo, the MP5. A lot of like, you know, I guess modern Call of Duty weapons. So definitely looking forward to this, and definitely looking forward to how this will impact Warzone itself. So yeah, what are your guys' thoughts on this?
I mean, I don't really play COD games much. I only own Cold War.
Right.
So I mean, I thought Cold War was like okay. It was like great. I like barely played it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it's cool, I guess. I don't really have much to say about it.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, yeah, I think the big thing is just how it's gonna impact Warzone. I think yeah. About the game itself, I feel like Activision needed this break because they're starting to become honestly like 2K and Madden, where they sort of just pump out the same game with just different weapons and different maps.
Mm-hmm. Every year. I mean, like even in Warzone, just like I don't even know what's going on. There's a giant like there's King Kong in it. Like, come on now.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a very questionable move, but at least on the Brotherhood, it did change the map from the last time, at least. No more downtown, I guess. But at least I'm happy that they did that. But I think going forward, I don't know. I hope Warzone does not try and become like Fortnite, and maybe one thing that they could do to, I guess, just like resolve this issue of, you know, Warzone sort of dying out is just making the games more fast paced and not having 100 people per lobby. Like, it was cool initially when like Warzone was very popular and like it was very easy to get into a match, but I think now with the game sort of like waning away with less people playing it, maybe if they decrease that number to like 50 or 40, it'll cause for more, you know, fun gameplay.
I don't know. I don't really think it's an issue of match or like how many people are in the lobby. I just think it's because people are bored of Battle Royale. Yeah. Like, you know, we've played Battle Royale for so long. There's no really real variation in Battle Royale. It's just in the end, the objective is to survive and be the last one remaining on the map. Unless if there's like some cool new twist added to the Battle Royale, which I honestly can't really think of. Yeah. It's just kind of going to be dead eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, else will probably still stick around and all, but the problem's right. The fact that we've had, not to mention, I feel like the fact that we had them during quarantine too, we kind of burned through the whole Battle Royale thing a lot faster than we might have done with other trends, simply because we had a lot more time on our hands to play video games.
Yeah, I have to agree there. That is a good point that you brought up. I wonder what like Fortnite and other Battle Royale games are going to do about this, like how they're going to, like if they're going to add a new game mode or something that makes it more interesting. Something I'm definitely looking forward to.
I mean, you were talking about fast pace earlier, right?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Like, I mean, if you like look at Apex is already a very fast-paced game.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying it's dying out because it isn't, but I mean, but it's sort of on the same trend that other battle royales are on, which is sort of kind of planing out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do agree. But I think Apex is still a very fun game. Like, a lot of people play Apex, and I mean,
I love Apex. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, sure, it has decreased, like, a little bit, like, you know, the excitement and the users, the players, you know, people play the game. But I think overall, Apex is, I wouldn't say it's above Fortnite yet. I think Fortnite still has more users since just, like, the internationally, how much of a grasp it has. But I think Apex is definitely like, at least in the US, I would say Apex is probably like the most popular battle royale game.
I don't know about that, but it is very popular nowadays.
Yeah.
The US is very there's a lot of Fortnite in the US. I wouldn't say that.
That is true. A lot of the younger generation is definitely, that's like the game they probably only play. Like we had Minecraft. I mean, they're gonna have Fortnite. So
yeah. All right. So
and
move on.
Yeah, and I have my last piece of news here. This is just you know, back to Apple again. And it looks like last Friday the Apple released a MacBook Air with the M2 chip, and it's completely redesigned. It seems like it has, like I said, the M2 chip. It has a thin design, like it's apparently really light. There's a larger display. The camera, I think the camera is still the same. And same with the speakers. One cool thing is that I think the battery life increased a little bit. And it has MagSafe charging, which I thought was really cool because you could literally just place it on top of one of those MagSafe chargers and you're good to go rather than having to plug it in. So, I mean, overall, my thoughts on this is that it is definitely a very good computer, definitely futuristic, but I don't think it has anything like significantly better than all the other Macs other than just, you know, being a bit faster.
It's an Air, right?
It is a MacBook Air, yep.
Yeah, so it's probably more affordable too.
I mean, yeah, it is a bit more affordable. That is true. So it is a very good, I guess, budget laptop where you get really good, you know, top of the line performance for not that bad of a price. Plus it is futuristic with the whole MagSafe charging, and it's in Apple's ecosystem. So pretty cool things from Apple, but I don't know. I feel like MacBooks, they need, like, people are still going to buy them just because it's Apple, right? Like, I feel like MacBooks, you know, people are going to keep continuing to buy these computers. But I think one thing Apple's got to look at is just, you know, trying to find a way to make it, you know, different or better.
What do you mean?
Like, in a sense, like, maybe Apple releases, like, a gaming line of laptops. I think that could be something that's really, really cool. Although a lot of people know that Macs aren't meant for gaming, I feel like if they did come up with a gaming line, that could be really, really successful.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's also like they'd have to cooperate with a bunch of like gaming industries and like companies to make their games Mac compatible just because of the different OS.
What if they just make everything in-house though? Like,
what do you mean?
I mean, you can't make games compatible in-house.
Oh, yeah, no, you're talking about game stuff. That'd be tough.
I mean, not to mention, I mean, while a lot of the actual, you know, obviously like the M2 chip is built in-house, but I would assume a lot of the MacBook is obviously also built in-house along with the chip. But I don't know. The fact, if they want to go into the gaming industry, that's a lot of money you got to put in that. And
I feel like they're not tight on money.
I mean, that's true, obviously,
trying to make a car, right? I feel like going for the gaming industry is just better for Apple than trying to make an Apple car, you know, like something that just totally out of there.
That's true. I wasn't, to be fair, I wasn't really on board with Apple car just because I don't really understand why Apple is making a car, but at least for the gaming industry, I don't know. Apple's reputation has been built as not really a gaming platform, so we're not really gonna. I'm not really sure how that would affect sales, but personally, I would think that would probably be like a negative, you know, stigma to have if you're gonna go into gaming, but.
I mean, I don't know. You have to start somewhere, right? Like,
that's true.
I feel like Dell initially wasn't supposed to be a gaming, like, line, but now they have like Alienware and like their own Dell like gaming computers. So, I mean, like, you got to start like the line somewhere. Like, obviously, like, maybe branding it under Apple might not be a great name, but they could create another line of brands. Like, instead of calling it like an Apple product, they can, you know, make a sub. Like a child company or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't know. I just don't see it from Apple. Will it happen? Maybe. I don't see it though.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, moving forward, the gaming industry will probably be one of the more, you know, growing industries in the future. So I think like it would be smart of Apple to invest in that space just because of, you know, the potential there. So I don't know. This could be something cool if they do, choose to pursue it.
I mean, they are in a way, I'm pretty sure, entering the gaming industry by, I think there have been, I don't know if it's confirmed yet because I'm a little behind on this, but there have been talks about Apple entering the VR industry. And if they're entering the VR industry, there's
that, yeah,
100% going to be entering the gaming industry. Especially because their VR headsets were advertised or said to be direct competitors with the Quest.
Oh, yeah. So, that's, yeah.
I guess in that sense, they are planning to enter the gaming industry, but just not through
standard gaming platforms. Yeah.
I wonder if the Quest actually has multiplayer, VR games. I wonder
they do. They have a ton of multiplayer VR games.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, they literally have a VR battle royale. Really popular. Wait, yeah.
Wow, that's sick.
I've played a bunch of multiplayer games in my class.
Wait, so how would a battle royale work? Because it's it's a giant map and all that, right?
Obviously it's not like 100 people. It's to 20, 30 people, I think. Or maybe it might be 40. I'm pretty sure it's 40. It's just the same as a normal battle royale, but you're just in VR. Huh. Like I have FPS game, or I've played an FPS game on VR, and it's pretty fun.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that sounds sick.
Yeah.
Well, at least from my side, that's it for me for all the news I have. Any last words you guys want to say?
I got nothing.
Yeah, not really.
All right. So, if that's it from us, thanks you guys for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned for the next one.